Welcome to Life and Sirens, Behind and On the Scene, a podcast by first responders. We're your hosts, Sophie,
Jamie,
and Aubrey.
The content provided in this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered medical advice. The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the official policies or positions of any medical institutions, emergency medical services, or healthcare organizations. Patient privacy is a top priority, and all discussions involving real-world emergency situations are de-identified and altered to ensure confidentiality. Always consult with a qualified healthcare professional or your local EMS protocols before making any decisions regarding patient care or medical practices. Listener discretion is advised, as some topics may include discussions of real-world emergency situations.
Episode of Life and Sirens. This is going to be an interesting one. We'll be talking about those reoccurring nightmare calls because each of us kind of have those couple of calls that we tend to get over and over again that are like relatively sick or critical patients that you don't see a lot in your career, but we just happen to have seen it over and over again. Bad luck, good luck, I don't know what you would call it. We all have those calls that seem to haunt us. Not even in a scary way, but like, it's just always hanging around. You're just like, well, I'm probably gonna get one of these today. I have a weird vibe. You know what I mean? So let's talk about those. Jame?
So I have a different one now than I used to have. My haunting call that I could not escape was complicated deliveries. And every birth that I would go on, I started to absolutely panic because they were never cut and dry. They were never easy. Baby was always super sick. Mom was always in a very strange place. And it just continued to get worse and worse and worse as the more births that we had. Everything just went more downhill. And so I got to a point where every single birth that we would show up on, I would be prepared for the absolute most chaos. We would have like three OB kits, like all the towels that
three
ever existed. I am ready for this. Mom can't tell me, and I'm like asking her 18 questions in a row because I had a patient that just didn't tell us anything. And then we delivered a very, very ill child and had no idea that was going to happen.
Surprise. She knew.
Yeah. I was very surprised by how many pregnant women were terrible historians.
Yeah.
I did not think that that was going to be a thing. I thought everyone would be pretty direct on like what was going on with their pregnancy.
Yeah, they're keeping up with it.
Like, turns out not so much. And I got bamboozled so many times by surprise babies.
You're like, yeah, everything's fine. I feel fine.
Yeah. And so for a long time, every time a like OB delivery would come out, I'd be like, here we go.
Honestly.
I'd make sure my peds bag came in with me. Like we were ready. And then I think the last three that I had were like just normal, cute little babies.
That's the best.
Yeah. They just came out crying and had a great Apgar and yeah. We were all set.
I was very scared to deliver a baby on a call until I did it, which I mean, she did it. But to be there for a birth, I was so scared. And normally they do go great, but when they go bad, man.
And they go bad fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what I thought? My first delivery ever, what I thought was going to happen is that I was going to drop that baby.
They are so slimy. So I mean, they really are.
They are so slimy, but they're not as hard to hold on to as I originally anticipated. I just thought, I don't know. I think that was my reoccurring nightmare was that I am just foot fumbling this baby and I'm like,
I think it's hard because we wear gloves too. So you can't like actually feel the baby. You just like the rubber and the slime and it just feels like a slip and slide underneath your hands and you're just holding on for dear life.
Just panic. I don't come more than like 6 inches off the ground with the baby for like the first like 2 minutes.
I mean, that's like, what they tell you in school. They're like, stay where you are. Do not move to the stretcher. That's probably why babies be flying off the stretcher.
Right? Yeah. Nope. No baby slip inside here.
No.
Like truly, I know they say this in school, but it is truly the messiest call I've ever been on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
As far as body fluids go.
Oh yeah.
It's incredible.
We ended up in a bathtub.
Oh.
Which honestly was the best case scenario.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's pretty good.
That was some good thinking on mom.
It was.
Yeah, that was. Good for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of moms will. They will, like, once they realize they're going to deliver at home, they will go straight to the bathtub because they know that they're going to have to clean it up. And they're like, nope.
You know, when they tell you, like, oh, delivering, a, like, having a call where you, the you know, a baby's delivered, whatever, it's like the best feeling. I was like, y'all are literally being so dramatic, but honestly, it's so exciting and fun.
It really is. I am not like a huge like baby person.
Yeah.
Like, I like them. They're adorable and they sniff good, but that's it.
They sniff good.
They do.
They smell little, like clean laundry.
Their little heads just smell so fresh and so new.
After the first bath.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I don't want to sniff it. Yeah, I don't want to sniff it like brand new.
No.
Maybe like a day later.
No.
But I did not think I would be that excited, and the whole crew, like everybody on scene, just can't stop smiling. It is really, it is
just so like proud. They're like, we're all the dad.
Right. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, I'm the dad.
Where's the birth certificate? Let me sign.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that I didn't realize would actually be like very precarious is that, like, you know, typically in the hospital, they use scissors to cut the cord. In our OB kits, it's a scalpel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to use a scalpel that close to such delicate things.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that. I mean, it cuts really easily, but, like, that's the problem, is it cuts really easily, so you're very gentle.
Yeah, every time that I've ever cut a cord, I left, like, a lot of cord.
They got mad at me last time I was at the hospital. I was like, I don't have the same tools as you. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Y'all can snip it off.
Same thing. They were like, why'd you leave it this long? And I said, honestly, I have a very sharp scalpel very close to this baby, and not trying to do that.
Was not risking it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that is my my reoccurring nightmare call for years. That is all I would ever get.
Now, how do you feel about going on those calls?
Oh, now it feels kind of like old hat.
Yeah.
Now every time an OB call comes out, I'm like, here we go. Yeah, I feel like after years of panicking, and then there's been like a good lull. I've been on a few deliveries, but there's been like a good lull for a couple years, and so now I feel prepared because I already did it all.
What would you tell somebody who maybe had a rough OB call and things didn't turn out the way that they hoped, or they, you know, were a little scary and they just felt unsure of themselves?
Yeah, you are really, truly doing the best you can with what you have. Not only do you go from one patient to two patients, but then you have two very critically ill patients.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times if baby's really critically ill, mom's also not doing great. And so you have a grown adult patient that you have to worry about, and you have this teeny tiny little baby patient that you have to worry about. And so for the most part, like, you do the best you can with what you have. You call for more resources, call for another unit if you need to, depending on where you are, you know, go where you have to go. But you really have to rely on your level of training. You're definitely not going to like reach the bar on this call. Like, you're not going to exceed to like what you've learned.
Yeah.
You're definitely going to fall back to your level of training. So train on complicated births and difficult pediatric airways and things like that, because these are the calls that you can...
Tiny airways.
Yeah, that you can really fumble on if you're not prepared.
Who else wants to go? Who else? Oh, like, there's a room,
I guess,
full
it'll
of people.
Be me.
I will do it.
The type of call that I have definitely seen the most since getting out of medic school has been just weird neuro, and specifically strokes. So many strokes.
I've been on a few of those with you.
It's wild. I don't know what it is.
I've
never one time had a STEMI, but I have had more strokes than I could possibly count, and I just don't understand what the disconnect is. Like, how do I get so many clots in the brain and none in the heart? I don't get it. You know, when I was doing my FTO rides, when I first got my medic, the only call that we ran emergency was a stroke that day. And that really just set the tone for the rest of my career thus far, because that is pretty much all we have done,
you know,
since.
And when we say like weird neuro, I mean, like you walk in there and they're doing the strangest stuff.
Like, what?
That you can't even put in a category. But you just know in your brain that the only reason that anyone would do something this rascally would be because they are having a stroke.
Yeah, that, you know, that makes me think, have you guys ever had a code stroke where it was textbook, face melting off, like paralysis to one side? Because I actually never have. I've had a lot of stroke patients, and I've had a lot of weird ones like you guys have, but I've never had that textbook call. I can only think of
one that like actually had like hemi paralysis, all of the things, like slurred speech, all the things. And I've had another one that just had facial droop, but only those two were like pretty textbook.
Isn't that weird?
I've had like a handful of pretty textbook strokes, but I have had in the hundreds of weird ones.
Yeah, I think that strokes, especially as EMS providers, it's kind of one of those things where, like, your spidey senses start tingling, you're like, this is a stroke. I cannot, sometimes you're like, I can't tell you why, but I know it is a stroke.
Right. And I think that we always are like, it's just the juju or the vibes or the spidey senses. But I think that we discount, well, I don't know that we do. I think that physicians a lot of times discount the amount of information that you get from being on a scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being in these people's homes.
And events leading up to medical history. Like one time I had a patient who was having a stroke and the only thing that was happening at all was just sudden onset, like word salad. That was it. And like, I know that some of our facilities would not call that. Mm. But like, I flew this patient. I was like, you guys just got to trust me. Like, it's a stroke. They had a heart attack the week before, and they had stents placed. I'm like, I just know it. They're diabetic. Their sugar's fine. And it was. So, like, I think we just, I don't know. We just get that, like, sixth sense. And I don't know that that is a thing that always happens with other providers, but pre-hospital providers?
Mm-hmm. Very good at it. Yeah. I think that we're very good at putting symptoms into boxes, and I feel like the stroke box is just a very obscure, like, it's just symptoms that cannot fit into any other box.
Yeah, the stroke, and so you're box just like, is like a weird,
that's a stroke.
Yeah, the stroke box, like a weird parallelogram.
Yes.
Yeah, like those Venn diagrams.
Yes, it just has a lot of things in there that we're like, probably
weird
a stroke.
Stroke box.
Another weird neuro, and it's like so specific, and I feel like actually you and I have had one together. Is encephalopathic patients.
Yes,
it is,
we've had a couple.
Yeah, it is so, it's just like, you just know, you're like, that patient is encephalopathic.
Correct.
Austin, one time, was like, oh, you'll just know, Jame.
You do.
And I was like,
and you do.
Yeah,
okay.
What do you mean?
And the first one I had was hepatic encephalopathy, and I said, okay.
You just, it's just
the
like
same
the
thing
most
with elevated
behavior.
Ammonia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Elevated ammonia, they do the, okay, so you know how dementia patients do the grabbies?
Yeah.
They do like the grabby hands? Mm-hmm. If you have an elevated pneumonia, it is grabby hands, but also with like hallucinating in the air.
Yeah, they like grab stuff in the air.
Yeah.
A lot.
And so it is just excessive grabby hands. Mm-hmm. And the first time I saw it, I was like, oh
and
my God.
I feel like also like, you know how like you're like, oh, the lights are on, but no one's home. It's like that, but like they're home.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the look that they give you is so unique.
Yeah. It's almost like you're invisible.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is a very strange feeling.
Should I be?
I think that's like, yeah, I think that's a good way to describe it. Yeah. That's kind of, yeah.
Yeah, they just wander around like you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when they do see you, you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I've been caught.
Yeah.
Well, Obs, what kind of advice would you give somebody who is getting these complicated neuro calls? Like, what have you learned from doing it over and over again?
I would tell you that we, as pre-hospital providers, have a very limited amount of resources, right? We don't have a CT scanner. We don't have labs. We literally have whatever stroke exam that your service deems right for you guys to use, and that is it. And I think that you have a responsibility to call it if you suspect it, and don't ever feel bad about calling it, even if you get to a facility and they kind of give you shit about it, because you don't have even a quarter of the resources that they have, and you have all of the responsibility in that moment. So if you feel it, call it, and don't feel bad about it.
Yeah, and also, I know for us, a lot of times, if they call it and we go straight to CT, they will scan them. Really, the only thing that can do is either, you know, rule out something old that's, like, already caused, like, brain death, the penumbrum.
Ooh.
From the site of the stroke, or it's only going to detect like a bleed, so don't feel bad if you're like, I know this is a stroke, you've called the code stroke, and they're not seeing anything super obvious on CT.
yeah that just rules out like big scary bleeds.
Just kind of like a STEMI. You can have a non-STEMI. Think of it that way.
Oh yeah that's a good parallel.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
well, Soph, what's yours?
Well, this is kind of confusing because I have two. Actually, I have three.
Oh my God.
I'm going to tell you about my favorite one. One is patients who require atropine and then immediately arrest after you provide atropine.
Yeah, that one's a bit of a traumatic one.
Yeah, I hate atropine. I mean, it's useful, okay? But it gives me a little bit of a scare. The second one is pediatric patients that are just the sickest scene peds patients you will ever have. Like, when I first got out of med school, I was stressed so often.
You did have a string of sick peds patients.
Really sick.
Really sick kids.
Like, wild.
Yeah.
Wild. And it lasted for years because, like, it was when I was with, I had them when I was with Austin, when I was with Marshall, and when I was with Ashley. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, knock on wood. Actually, I just had one. You remember, you guys remember that?
Yep.
We were like, what the heck is going on with this kid?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But an overlap between peds and my most common call that is weird, that you'll probably, a lot of people will never make it through their career finding one of these, that is a true choking. I've had so many true chokings. Like, a couple of them were in cardiac arrest. We got them back. But, like, that is, like, I've had so many chokings where I have to, like, go in there and, like, remove things with McGill forceps. There's people who never use McGills in their whole career.
I have never.
I know, and yours are just shined up, ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
I have never used McGills in my whole career. Every single choking I've ever gone to has been a food bolus.
Yes.
Yeah. Or they just, like, were coughing and turned red.
Yeah. Or they looked at me in my eyeballs and said, I feel like something is stuck in my throat.
Yes. I've had steak, shrimp, popcorn. Do not give your kids popcorn. One of the most satisfying things you'll ever do in your career, if you get to, is go in with your blade and your McGills and just pluck something out of someone's airway. Like, and then, you know, start to breathe for them, and they start breathing again on their own, and, like, that is so satisfying. Like, I it was a lot of fun for me to resuscitate
those patients.
Yeah, honestly,
it sounds great.
Yeah, and, like, one of my favorite things, because it's happened to me enough times where I do this, is to bring in what they choked on. And the doctor's always like, what the heck?
You're like,
you're welcome.
I
just wanted to give you a taste.
Send it to patho.
Yeah. Yeah, I think most of the time it's been food. It's often meat.
Yeah.
I've had chicken, steak, shrimp. A couple of the times it's been some other food, like the pediatric patient. It was popcorn, and that sucks. Please don't give your kids under two popcorn, because you can't get, I mean, they end up, like, inhaling it, essentially, mm-hmm. and then it's in their lungs. So often these kids, you know, if we can effectively oxygenate them pre-hospital, they're going to need, like, a bronchoscopy and stuff once they get to the facility. So, like, that is just a nightmare. Please do not give your kids popcorn.
It gets really mushy and be, like, hard to pull out. Yeah.
And do you ever think about this? Like, if you're ever going to, like, if you were ever a parent or, like, had to care for children, like, full-time, in your home, like, would you be a helicopter parent after this job? Because I just feel like I would. I'd be like, you can't have anything.
Honestly,
cutting all your food up.
Honestly, probably not. I feel like most of the Pete's calls that we go to, they're totally fine and nothing is wrong with them.
I've had so many Pete's ingestions.
Yeah, I've had a couple, like, batteries and, like, quarters and weird stuff.
I will say, I live with my niece and I'm not helicopter
auntie
figure. Yeah, to her I'm just
auntie,
like,
yeah.
Please don't do that.
What That's are you it. Yeah, maybe I wouldn't be, but, like, I really have had so many. I mean, I've had almost every single classical peds call: chokings, ingestions, drownings, mm-hmm. like, accidents. I've had them.
You've had all of them. Yeah, I think I would be the most protective, like, out in the world.
Yeah,
like, out and about, I'd be really protective of them. I think at home I'm just afraid that I wouldn't know the rules.
That's fair.
That I would just be like, oh, try this grape. And then someone would be like, oh, don't do that. And I'd be like, oh, my God, why? Is it like dogs can't have it? Like,
they
I don't
literally
know.
Make grape cutters.
Yeah.
For, like, it's like a little thing.
Yeah.
That's cute.
I know. There's so many rules that I'm like, I feel like I would really screw that up.
There's a lot of pressure. If you're a parent, something goes wrong and you did everything right. Things still go wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've even had some... This is cool. My microwave has, once you finish heating up something on it, it has a unlock button that you have to hit, like, immediately locks it. And I think that's a really cool feature, because I've had several calls where if you have a counter height microwave, kids will pull stuff out of it onto them. Like, I'm serious. I'm telling you, I've had every peds call. That is just classic peds accident. Yeah. So my advice for anybody who is nervous about peds calls, that doesn't go away. When you have really sick peds, you will, I mean, I hope that you're a little bit nervous, because the stakes are high, and, you know, they have not lived a long life yet, and you want to hopefully assist in them living a longer life. I would just be sure that you have all the resources you need. You know where your length-based measurement tape, you know where that is. You know, like, any resources you have, like, apps, I have Pede's Guide from Children's National on my phone, and it's fantastic. It's the one that I would recommend. You can either put in the patient's weight in kilograms or pounds. You select male or female, and then you put years or months. You don't have to have years and months and weight. You can just pick either one, and it gives you so many things. Like, let me put in, I have it pulled up right now on my phone. Let's put in 20 kilograms. So meds, it has every med in alphabetical order. It has situations. Like, it literally says diabetic ketoacidosis, respiratory, resuscitation, seizures, appendicitis. Like, it has all this stuff.
That's
in
awesome.
There. Yeah. Yeah. Even equipment sizing it has in there. From everything from your blade to IV catheters, central lines, chest tubes, NG tubes. And it even has your vital signs. It has PALS loaded on here. Like, I love this app.
That's wonderful.
What did you say the name of it was?
Pede's Guide by Children's National Hospital.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this is not sponsored, but I love it. So, well, those are my reoccurring nightmares. Is there any call you wish that you got more of?
I just want one STEMI. I just want to know that I can know what it is.
It is so wild that Aubrey has never had a patient having a STEMI.
I haven't either.
What?
No. Because we've been together.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that's wild.
I've worked like a STEMI as an EMT, like with another, like with a medic.
And we're in the Southeast, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People do have
STEMIs. Oh yeah, this is like pure, like the EMS gods are just like none for you.
Yeah.
I have had a couple that have been a cardiac arrest that we've gotten ROSC on.
Yeah.
But I feel like that doesn't really count because that's just a whole other call. But I've never had a conscious patient having a STEMI.
Is there a call you have, like you've already done that you wish you had more frequently?
Yes, actually.
What is it?
I know, this is so niche, but I'm just like still so torn up about it.
All right.
For like little to no reason. A hyperkalemia. We had a hyperkalemia patient. Picture perfect. I mean, like the most textbook EKG ever. Had all the symptoms. And I had just gotten out of medic school and I was so excited.
You're like, I know
I was
all the things.
Boom, 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 boom. And we could not get a line on him.
Did you get albuterol?
Yep. Yep. Then we rolled into the ER. With him on albuterol, and that was it.
Well, that's a very efficacious method.
That was it.
Yeah, it was so sad.
Yeah.
He was just, like, chronically ill.
Yeah.
And he had no vascular access at all. And we were so bummed.
We were so bummed.
Yeah.
I really love calls where we can fix them. So, mm-hmm. like, stuff like that is nice. Typically get, like, really cut and dry codes, but there's been a few times where I've had a true mega code.
Yeah.
And like you do the things and it fixes it and then something else pops up. Like one time Austin Marshall and I had a call where the patient was arrested, they went to VTAC, shocked them, they went into torsades, gave mag, okay, yes, and then we got ROSC. Like stuff like that is really fun to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I would love,
he's having a STEMI and he is still alive.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I would really love like another big mega code. The last one that we had was pretty good, but I would love to have another like large mega code that we really get to like do things and see changes from. You know, this is also really niche, but we have occasionally done some like forest rescues.
Honestly,
we
have
done a couple.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, and they are so much fun.
I love when they bring that dog out.
Yes, they're so fun to just go traipsing through the woods, like Marco Poloing for somebody. And fire always takes it so seriously with their Polaris and like all the things. And we are always just like hiking with our little backpack, like ready to go.
Yes.
Yeah, I think those were really fun.
Ashley and I once had a patient that had to be cut out of a bush.
Oh,
he crawled into it.
You know what? I'm going to insert the radio traffic for that call because I have it recorded of Ashley requesting a chainsaw. And
yes,
it's really funny.
Yes.
Well, we're going to need something to help out with getting these patients out of a bunch of bushes.
Because they had to walk a long distance, plus they had to like go through this really thick brush, and it was the middle of the night, so I knew all these boys were for sure gonna have their turnouts on because they got their jammies underneath. Sorry if I'm calling you out and that's not allowed. It probably isn't. I didn't say that. Anyway. But it was a very precarious scene, and we saw so many officers like surrounding the park, and we were like, what is going on over there? Just keep driving. It's probably nothing. Immediately gets a call. And it was that. And
it was that.
It was funny. Everyone was fine. What is a call that you never want to do again?
A seizure.
A seizure.
I never want to, if I could never run another seizure, it would be too soon. The reason being, I have nothing against humans that have seizures. I'm sorry. That has to be very stressful. My issue is that it is always chaotic. Nobody ever knows anything about their seizures. They are either postictal to the point where they don't want to go with you, but you can't leave them, or they're still seizing, but rarely are they still seizing. They're almost always postictal and yelling at you.
And it's usually like someone has seen them have, like, for people who do have seizures often enough where they just stay home. Mm-hmm. It's because they either did it in public or somebody is with them who's mm-hmm. never seen it happen. And yep. I do feel bad for them.
Right. And rough. You don't want to kidnap them when they normally would not go.
Yes.
Right.
So, it was like in their bed. They weren't hurt.
Yeah. Right. It's like this weird limbo where you either stay and hang out with them until yeah. they're no longer postictal and you're like, hey, bud, like, what do you want to do? But if that takes too long, then you got to snatch them. But then they fight you a lot. If sometimes they just get real feisty yeah. and I just, I hate it. It's so convoluted and like not super safe.
100%.
Yeah. I'm just not a big fan. The man that came the closest to murdering me on a call, he was post seizure. So yeah. he has a responder background and he, had PTSD. And so his postictal state was like full on in the fight.
Serious.
And we were nothing but enemies. And the only person that he would recognize or respond well to was his like significant other at the time. And that was the only person that could get him to chill. The second those ambulance doors closed, the most homicidal man that I've ever encountered. It took like six of us to do any level of controlling him. Versed did absolutely nothing. And we finally get to the ER. They give him all the drugs. And we came back like 3 hours later after he was no longer sedated. Aww. And he was like, hey guys, yes, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And I said, you're the scariest man I've ever met in my life. But that after that was my final straw with seizures. I said, I'm all done with you.
Yeah.
And then we get like two a shift now.
Yeah. That's yeah. probably like the, other than like falls and medical alarms, I feel like seizures are like next up. And breathing problems. Everybody's having a breathing problem. Mm-hmm. I think mine would be diabetic hypoglycemia because we can fix it so quickly and I feel so bad because I'm like, well, probably should go to the hospital. I just hate like, especially if they wake up like on the way to the hospital. Yeah. Like I just feel bad because like we know exactly what happened. Oh. Right? Like yeah, we know
yeah.
what happened.
Yeah, like you do not actually need to go to this ER right now.
Yeah, unless you probably shouldn't be alone.
Unless your sugar keeps dropping. Right. But like fix
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know, I always feel so bad. It's I like it better when they're like awake and we can just, you know, feed them a sandwich.
Yes.
But I always feel so bad when they like wake up in the back of the ambulance and they're like, oh no, dang it. Yeah. I'm like, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I don't know what call I would never want to run again. Probably just like abdominal pain.
Yeah, like non-specific, generalized sickness, yeah. abdominal pain. I don't know. I feel like this happened after, at least I noticed it, after COVID. Like, I feel like we didn't really get that many before COVID.
I feel like we
or
did.
Or even during.
I think we did get a decent amount of, like, flu-like symptoms, but it was not, it was always, like, when they started to feel bad. It wasn't, like, just because they got diagnosed with
or
something.
Or they just have a fever.
Yeah. It was, like, now someone will be like, I think I have COVID, and they just call 911 because of that.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, I'm how like, do you feel? And they're like, fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope we never have to go back to that time. I'm just not ready for another pandemic, honestly.
Me neither. We need just, like, a little
That's
bit
what,
more of a break.
If I could never run another call again, it would be a COVID call.
Yeah, that is true.
And the thing is, it was so frequent that in our CAD system, which is what we're dispatched on, they added COVID in there. Like, yeah. You can be dispatched as COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not flu, although they COVID.
Right, I'm like, they have the flu.
There's some weird stuff in our...
There
system.
Is some weird stuff.
You know what I think is so funny is when they accidentally press the wrong button.
And it's like, oh my God.
And it will be
That's
like, multi-airplane crash.
Yeah, the plane crash.
And then
so
it's
funny.
Like, abdominal pain.
Yeah, yeah. It's just
Switching
like next to it, next to the, like, yeah. it's another M. Which we have had. We have had plane crashes. You know what was
oh, yeah.
What we've had? Which, it was a false alarm. It was not. I guess they had to do whatever you would call an emergency landing in a hot air balloon. But Marshall and I had one of those. It was a hot air balloon crash. But they didn't crash.
They didn't
but
crash.
That's what it was. That's
so
what it was in the CAD. That's, you can dispatch something as a hot air balloon crash. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Which it's a wild place around here.
Yeah. In our county, we have a facility that has a hot air balloon club. So they do that very often. That's probably the most unique dispatch call I've been to.
Yeah, I would say so.
And we were like, what on earth? Like, we were just freaking out. Because I was like, what do you even do? Is that thing going to be on fire?
Yeah, what is the protocol here?
Yeah, I think that this is a reminder that EMS is just luck of the draw. So stop comparing war stories in the way of, like, I've just seen more than you. We've all seen different things.
Like, yeah, also, we have all worked at the same station. Mm-hmm. For years and years and years. Yes. And all of our same calls are different.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, Aubrey and I are partners.
Well, you guys will have regulars.
And sometimes ours aren't the same ones.
That we've never met.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, you know that person. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I've never been there.
It's just how it falls.
Well, thank you guys for listening to all of our favorite and least favorite things and our reoccurring nightmares. We hope that you enjoyed it, and we'd love to hear what your reoccurring EMS nightmares are. If you have any stories that you'd like to share with us that we could possibly share on the podcast, you can send those to lifeandsirenspod@gmail.com, lifeandsirenspod@gmail.com, and please let us know in those if you'd like us to share your name. If you don't, we will leave it out. If you send us anything hairy, we will also leave that out. All right, guys, follow us on social media, and we'll see you soon. Stay safe, and please do not fall out of any hot air balloons. Thank you.
This has been Life and Sirens, produced by three nerds trying to bring you content that you might actually care about.